Hey there, I'm Lance Bass, and this is Chip. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been on the front lines protecting animals in times of crisis. From Pearl Harbor to 9/11, the California wildfires, and the coronavirus pandemic, American Humane Rescue has provided life-saving assistance for animals in virtually every major national disaster. If you're anything like me, your pets mean the world to you. And if disaster strikes, you want to keep them safe. To prepare for an oncoming disaster, ensure your pet has secure and up-to-date identification. And if you must evacuate, remember to take your disaster preparedness kit with you. To learn more about disaster planning and how to keep your best friends safe, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
It's all about Las Vegas. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekday afternoons, noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Your reaction to the State of the Union address has been mixed. If you were a Republican, you hated it, although it was entertaining. It certainly was entertaining. If you're a Democrat, you're excited as all get out, and that's all well and good. Anna Luna is a congresswoman from Florida, and this was her reaction to the State of the Union.
What was it like being a first-termer, hearing your first State of the Union?
Obviously, it's historical any time that you're hearing the State of the Union, but what I've learned in my short time being here is that a lot of people will say and do things in front of the camera, but then their policy says something 180 out and opposite. And so one of the most frustrating things for me is part of the reason why I got politically involved and ran for office is because I was working as a counter-trafficking activist in a volunteer organization. And, when I hear rhetoric on, of course, we need to close the borders because of what's happening with fentanyl, but this administration has the power to do so. They have the power to actually work with Republicans to come up with a solution on immigration and then also to separately on border security. And I'm just not seeing that. So I heard a lot of talk from a policy perspective, and from what I see every single day on the floor, I see something different. So it's frustrating.
What kind of solutions are you looking for? What do you think are reasonable to expect from a divided Congress?
Well, today we had a hearing on oversight, and so we were actually able to talk to two different sector chiefs from Border Patrol. And during those conversations, when you hear stats that they're talking about, acknowledging and understanding that women, minority young women underage are being raped as they're crossing the border. When you hear the stats on the fentanyl, when you hear the stats of what's happening with those that are coming here and basically children being lost in the system, of the 300 plus thousand that came during this administration unaccompanied minors, around, based on stats, maybe 200,000 are going to be likely targeted by cartels and exploited, whether it's for trafficking or sexual or labor purposes. And then in addition to that, our own government has lost track of over 40,000 of those children. Those are alarming statistics. I think, one, you absolutely have to separate children from their families until you can ensure that they are biologically related to those that are claiming to be their family members. Also, too, you have to have a zero-tolerance stance on illegal immigration and understand that this has nothing to do with asylum and those that are claiming general claims of asylum that are maybe seeking protection from political persecution, for example. But understand that this administration, when you had people that were fleeing from Cuba and Venezuela that were coming here because they were basically being targeted by their government, that they were actually turned away by this administration. So I see a lot of partisan divide, and I'm just hoping that people will see those facts and that they will understand that human life is not political and that this is something that, as a country, we take pride in the fact that we are a country free of slavery, yet it's happening every single day at our southern border.
That is Anna Luna, a congresswoman from Florida. She is a rising star in the Republican Party. She was there at the speech last night, and as Tommy Pickett said, I think he only spent about 60 seconds on illegal immigration. I wish the president had spent more time on that. Stay with us. Lots more to come. Aaron Phillips from Power to Parent Union will join us in just a couple of minutes, and we'll talk about what's going on in the 82nd Nevada legislature. It's all straight ahead right here on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casal, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer Employee Benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employee's dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in the United States. Call the Multicare Group today for your no-obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The Multicare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casal of the Multicare Group today, 702-396-9449.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Congressman Mike Gallagher says he believes the White House was slow to respond to the Chinese spy balloon that floated across the country last week, because it was hoping the incident would go unnoticed.
That they could let the balloon traverse the United States, lazily drift over sensitive nuclear facilities, and not do anything about it, and so as to facilitate Secretary of State Anthony Blinken's trip to China.
Congressman Gallagher chairs the House Select Committee and was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. Also at townhall.com, as the earthquake death toll approaches 1,200, Town Hall News is joining forces with international nonprofit relief agency Food for the Poor to rush emergency relief, food, and water to the victims of the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. More information available at srnnews.com. The IOC stepping up efforts to explain its position on trying to help Russian athletes qualify for next year's Paris Olympics, amid a backlash from Ukraine and its allies.
Publishing a series of explanations and rebuttals to its critics, the Olympic body has responded to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's invitation for his IOC counterpart, Thomas Bach, to return and see the ruined city of Bakhmut. Currently, there are no plans for another visit to Ukraine, the IOC says, noting that Bach had visited Kyiv last July and had since spoken with Zelensky in telephone calls. The IOC has once more cited the opinion of two UN human rights experts who support the view that Russians and Belarusians should not face discrimination. Instead, they should compete under a neutral flag. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
A lower close on Wall Street, the Dow off 200. 7 points, the Nasdaq was down 203. More at townhall.com.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-940-6161. That's 1-800-940-6161. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-940-6161. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com.
Are you a small business owner? Would you like to turn your social media into an important profit center? Hey, Kevin Wall here, the owner of Battleborne Radio and a longtime client of the SKC Group. The pros at the SKC Group built our corporate website, then they updated that website to make it even more productive. The SKC Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of businesses. Locally owned and operated, the SKC Group provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design project, or an engaging mobile-friendly website. What do I like most about the SKC Group? They showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. And who doesn't want more profit? Let the pros at the SKC Group help you and your business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Make that call right now.
It's 104. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. With more homes available for sale and fewer being sold, Southern Nevada home prices continue to fall. Las Vegas Realtors reports the median sales price of existing single-family homes in Las Vegas was $425,000 last month, the same price as December, but down $10,000 from January of 2022. The all-time record high of $428,000 was hit in May of last year. Despite the cooling trend, local home prices are still more than triple the post-recession bottom, which was hit in January of 2012, when the median sales price was $118,000, if you can believe that. More than 5,400 single-family homes were on sale in January without getting any offers. That's up nearly 200% from the same time a year earlier. Well, the Raiders have granted permission to the New Orleans Saints to talk with outgoing quarterback Derek Carr. Now, Carr appears to have a decision to make. The team's longtime starter has a full no-trade clause. That's where he's meeting with the Saints today. Becomes so important. As part of his due diligence, Carr wants to establish a comfort level for the team before agreeing to a trade.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Got a few crashes to look out for on the surface streets right now. Northbound Rancho, that one's at Craig. Westbound Lake Mead at Tenaya. Westbound Sahara at Decatur, a fender bender there. And bridge inspection is taking place today, Blue Diamond Road at the 15 interchange.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do when followed through, the exact opposite.
Check it out. COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one, time is running out. Number two.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
We are into day number three of the 82nd Nevada Legislature, and they are working in Carson City even as we speak. Somebody that's going to have a very noted presence in Carson City over the course of the next 120 days, really up until June, is Erin Phillips, the co-founder and president of Power to Parent Union, and she joins us now. First of all, thanks for joining us. Always good to have you on. We're going to talk about a big announcement that you guys made just the other day relative to a merger of organizations. We'll talk about that. But I'm curious your thoughts on what's going on up in Carson City, and how closely will you be monitoring and even lobbying, if you will?
Hey, Kevin. Well, you know, we'll definitely be closely monitoring what's going on in Carson City. We're working on putting together a legislative tracker that we will be able to, you know, send out to our parents so that they can stay really closely engaged as well with some of the bills. And obviously just monitoring to make sure that, you know, we can foresee any bad policies and make sure parents are aware of those. And, you know, obviously push any of the good policies, which, you know, of course, will hopefully include, you know, some school choice policies that we're going to see expanding, and some other, just some other parental rights issues that hopefully we'll be able to press forward this session with this, you know, Republican governor who has really made education his priority.
Have you had any indication from Democrats what they have planned? They control the assembly. They also control the state Senate. But as you mentioned, we do have a Republican governor. What is your sense of what their message is in this 82nd Nevada legislature?
You know, that's a really great question. I don't know if I could speak to their message overall. But I mean, very predictably, we saw that as soon as the governor announced that he wanted to add $2 billion extra dollars to public education, you know, the Democrats came out with a message that they wanted. It wasn't enough, obviously, and they wanted an extra $250 million to be added for teacher pay and some other education-related things. So, you know, we know that funding doesn't always fix the problem, and just throwing money at the problem isn't going to fix it. You know, again, this governor has talked about accountability measures, which I think will be very, you know, interesting to see. And I think, you know, encouraging that, you know, we'll have some accountability behind any new funding that goes into education. But you know, the Democrats will, I think, very, again, predictably never be satisfied with the amount of money. And we've seen, you know, raises in the amount of funding to public education over and over the last, you know, several sessions. And so I just know that sort of like it's never enough, but we'll see if we can hopefully see them work in a bipartisan way with this governor to get at least some of this new funding added and you know, potentially again, some school choice, which is really why this governor was elected. You know, education has been his big issue. It was the big issue throughout the campaign. He's continued to make it an issue. And parents, they are tired of the status quo. And so I think when you see the additional funding being requested from the Democrats for public education funding, it's just, you know, it's been made really clear that that's not what parents want. They want to have multiple options. They want more options and more opportunities for their kids. So we'll see.
Has anybody ever come up with a number? I mean, I've always wanted to ask somebody, either from the teachers union or someplace like that, or on the Democrat side of the aisle, and say, you tell me what the dollar figure is that we need to spend to move the needle, to get us off of 50th and make us 35th or 20th.
Yeah, it's a difficult question. It's also a good question because, you know, we see in other states across the country where, you know, like New York and these other states that are spending, you know, hand over fist. I mean, they're spending so many thousands of dollars per student more than we're spending in Nevada, and they're still doing really poorly. Their outcomes are really poor. And so, you know, I don't think that there is a dollar amount. I think there's so many other factors outside of funding that make a school district successful. And I think Florida's a great kind of a success story to look at if we're going to talk about funding and dollar amounts, because, you know, they were very similarly at the bottom of education like we are here in Nevada for many years. They passed really meaningful school choice programs, have built on that year over year. And now their funding per student is very similar to what we have here in Nevada, approximately $10,000 a kid. But now they're in the top 10 for outcomes. And so when we see school choice being introduced into the system, you see just, you know, obvious amount of competition and accountability that gets injected into the system, and then students do better. So I don't think you can put a dollar amount on it. But I mean, I'm sure there's people that would disagree with me. but we've seen outcomes have much more to do with accountability.
Again, Aaron Phillips joining us, the president and co-founder of Power to Parent Union. Major, major announcement by your organization, Power to Parent Union, that you are merging with Battleborn Moms for Education from up north. I had never heard of that organization until I saw it in a press release put out by your organization. What is Battleborn Moms for Education, and why is this merger going to be important?
Yeah, so Battleborn Moms for Education has been really operating and doing many of the same things we have been focused on for the past 18 months, really in Northern Nevada. They've done a ton of outreach to parents in Northern Nevada specifically Washoe County. They've really done a lot to expose some of the policies in Northern Nevada. Really, it helped inform parents about school board meetings and inform parents about school board candidates. And their mission is so similar to ours. We have worked with them, you know, over the last 18 months and built relationships with them. So it was just a really natural transition for us to be able to join forces with them and kind of bring them under the umbrella of Power of Parent. And, you know, in that way, we will be able to just, I mean, I think together be able to keep parents informed and community members informed on the important issues that affect the families statewide and really collaborating with our resources as well. So I think, you know, we've said for many years that we're building an army of parents, and I think this is just a you know, another unit that we're adding to the army, and it's, I'm very, very excited. These ladies are awesome.
Will it bring a different skill set than what you have, or is it very similar to what you folks do?
I mean, yes and yes, you know, so there's a lot of very similar skill sets. You know, we always say that we're cut from the same cloth, you know, the ladies and I, but, and, you know, and my team up down here, but, you know, they also have some of their own unique skill sets. And so I think we are adding to the team and in such a unique way. You know, I only see an upside to this. You know, there's only benefits because these women bring so much to the table. And at the same time, they're so similar to us in how much they care about children and families, about the advocacy that, you know, that they've been doing already. It's just such a natural, sort of a natural marriage here.
I'm curious what kind of contact you've had with the governor or the governor's office in these first couple of days of the legislature and in the transition leading up to it. Has he had an open door policy for folks like you, stakeholders?
You know, I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to travel up north yet, but I'll be doing that on Monday. And so my hope is that I'll be sitting down with some different legislators and some different stakeholders about, about what's going on in regards to school choice. You know, I wanted to mention, I won't jump topics yet, but I wanted to mention the event that we're doing on Monday, February 13th at the Capitol, that we've put out that we're doing a, you know, Show the Love for School Choice event at the Capitol. We have some legislators speaking. We're inviting families to come out and take a tour of the Capitol and you know, kind of just participate in telling our legislators that this is really what families are asking for. So, but yeah, I mean, I've had some really great conversations with the governor's chief of staff and some of his other staff. You know, I know that everyone is really just trying to gear up for this legislative session. And now that it's underway, I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to have some really meaningful conversations with the governor and with his team about school choice.
What will your legislative priorities be relative to, I'm guessing, education? And are they achievable? Or will you have to play defense?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you know better than anybody that the makeup of the legislature is going to make for a very interesting session. You know, the governor, as much as he has promoted and championed school choice, there are Democrats in the legislature that, again, want to maintain the status quo when it comes to education and the way we approach education. So, you know, that is going to be a grind. You know, I don't think there's any way around that. But I do think that, again, you know, we see that the governor was elected really on this idea, and parents have been making it more and more clear. They've been more and more vocal with their legislators that this is not a political issue. Parents don't want our politicians to politicize education. They want to put kids first. And that's what this governor has pledged to do. And so I think if these legislators are listening to their constituents about the things that they want, which, again, they want their kids to find the classroom that really meets their needs. Every child is different. Every child learns differently. Some kids really excel in a public school classroom, and we want to make sure that those kids have the resources they need. Some kids don't. And if you look at our outcomes, you look at our test scores, there are many, many kids who are not thriving in the public school setting. And so instead of continuing to allow these kids to fail and throw more money, and really not meet the needs of the student, we need these families, these kids, to be able to go outside of that public school system and find the classroom that is going to really meet their needs. And, you know, people who have the resources are already doing this, Kevin. I think that's so important to just remind legislators. You know, the families who have access to a private school, for example, who can afford that private school, they have already moved their kids. I mean, the attendance, not the attendance, but the enrollment is down in all the districts across the state. So, you know, we know that families who have the ability to move their kids are moving their kids. Some of those families are pulling their kids and homeschooling them, and some of those families have the ability to do that. But many families don't have the ability to do that. So what parents are asking is they want the ability to choose a quality education for their child. And it shouldn't just be families that are wealthy and well-connected that have access to that. It should be every child should have the access to a quality education across the state. And so I think the voters have communicated that. And so I hope that the Democrat legislators who have traditionally leaned into this status quo approach to education will begin to really put their ear to the ground and go, okay, this is what my constituencies or what the families who voted for me are saying. They want more school choice, and that we can work together with a Republican governor and a Democrat legislature and get some really meaningful programs for these families.
Are we closer or further apart on school choice? You mentioned the numbers, and the numbers are astronomical. 65-70% of folks love the idea of school choice. But are we closer or further away from school choice in the state of Nevada?
Oh, we're much closer. I mean, I think, you know, I guess there's so many definitions, I think, for depending on who you're talking to about school choice. So, you know, I think that we've seen already, we have one very small tax credit scholarship in the state, but we've seen that there's support to expand that tax credit scholarship and give more access to families. We've seen that there's more, you know, legislators that are more amenable to the charter schools and adding more charter schools. I mean, there's 10,000 kids on a wait list across the state of Nevada for charter schools. And so those are things you just can't ignore. And at the same time, I think the legislators, again, have had to recognize that the outcomes for our kids in public schools here in Nevada are poor. They're very poor. And you can't run away from those numbers. So I think we're closer. I mean, families have made it more and more clear since COVID, really, that they are not happy. They're not satisfied with the education in the state. So, yeah, we're definitely closer. I think, you know, my dad always used to tell me it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I think this is a really good example of that. It's a marathon, not a sprint, for us to get all of the school choice programs that we've ever wanted. But if we're willing to put the time in, be patient, allow parents to speak, empower them with the information of how to reach out to their legislators, and that's always been our goal, I think we're going to see some very meaningful incremental changes when it comes to access and programs for school choice.
When you go next Monday up to Carson City, will you and have you identified Democrats that you can actually talk to and at least have a platform for expressing your ideas and hearing their ideas when it comes to school choice and education in general?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we had those conversations last legislative session with Democrats as well. You know, this isn't what we have always been solutions based. You know, we have supported legislation that if it puts children first, if it empowers parents, and most, if not all of those policies are not political, right? Again, education should not be political. Parental rights should not be political. And so I believe that there's Democrats and Republicans who are on board with empowering parents to advocate for their kids, especially when it comes to finding education, again, classrooms that meet the needs of their kids. So absolutely, I will be sitting down with Democrats and Republicans and anybody who will listen, frankly, about how we can help kids and families.
I know we talked the last time about the gala, which has been moved. Can you talk a little bit about where the gala is and can people buy tickets yet, or where are we?
Yes. We're there. We're ready. So we are going to be moving the gala to September 23rd here in Las Vegas. We'll be hosting it at the Suncoast Hotel and Casino. And again, it's a Saturday. So it's Saturday, September 23rd. We do have actually our email is going to go out on Friday morning with the link to buy tickets. So right now it's not posted, but it's going to be posted everywhere on Friday. I've already had people who have bought tables and who are sponsoring tables. So if you're looking for sponsorship opportunities, anyone who wants to do that can reach out to me. You know, we are going to have a limited number of table sponsors. So the email we're asking them to email is info@power2parent.org for sponsorship opportunities and other inquiries. And then again, look out for our email, and we'll be posting it everywhere Friday.
I think that's wonderful. Aaron, always good to visit with you. Safe travels up to Carson City, and keep fighting that good fight for us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin. Take care.
Aaron Phillips, the co-founder and president of Power to Parent Union, and they are now aligned with Battleborn Moms for Education. Check out both the websites, Power2ParentUnion.com. And you can find out more about that. And then go and check out Battleborn Moms for Education. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue.